All right, I've got 6:30, so I'm going to call the October 5th council meeting to order. We're going to start with the pledge of allegiance, please. John?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to note that we never did that until Bruce Rimbo came on council. I do need to say that the COVID-19 pandemic, we are continuing to take steps to follow federal, state, local guidelines regarding social distancing and crowd size. If attendance at city meetings is not essential, we strongly encourage you to listen to the meeting live via Zoom. City Hall will be open for the city council meeting with limited seating and social distancing guidelines in place. Face masks are required while in the building. Public comment will be accepted both in person at City Hall or by emailing the city clerk with comments, statements at clerk@lakerevere.kansas.gov by noon on Monday, October 5th, 2020. All governing body meetings will comply with the Kansas Open Meetings Act. Thank you for helping us keep our community safe. Also like to remind everybody that this is recorded. We do have masks on, so just try and speak up whenever it's your turn. So we're going to move on to recognize visitors. Is anybody here for public comments, questions, anything like that? Moving right along. Okay, number four, we need to consider the report from the September 14th council meeting. Everybody have a chance to read over those? Any questions, discrepancies, changes? I know there's a lot going on. I thought Kathy did a good job of kind of condensing it, but still including the important information. So if nobody has any objections, I would entertain.
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from September's council.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Gail seconds. Okay, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion carries. On to treasurer's report.
Okay.
Aaron Lecky.
For the treasurer's report, we ended the month of September 6% above 100% above budget for the year. This is one of the times most recently where we have been above budget and most of our categories, which is always a great thing. So, good work on that one. For expenses, we were 6.7% over budget for the month, 11.6 over budget for the year. And like I mentioned last time, the numbers will kind of look that way until November or December when they start evening out with some of the categories that we haven't spent anything in. Nothing that I am concerned about. And once again, we're still waiting. I received an email from the stormwater director of Johnson County that our payment for the Opti project is in process of coming to us. So hopefully by the end of October, I'll be able to tell you that we've received that. But as of today, we have not. Moving on to look at the check detail, a couple of the ones that got out at me. Starting on page 3. We have our principal and interest payment to Johnson County Wastewater for the sewer, which comes out every September. That's the $107,000. We have the $10,000 payment to Double Check for the gas station repairs that we kind of talked a little bit about last month. We have $2,000 to FES on page 4, who is the company that runs our website, and they do a $2,000 charge per year for some of the maintenance stuff that we do with that. And then other than that, I didn't see any other checks, but I did want to point out like the very top of the page 1 for the deposit detail, you'll see the almost $1,100 payment from Johnson County Treasurer. That was our first payment for the coronavirus relief payment that I talked about at the last meeting. It hit our account very quickly. So not quite the same process as getting reimbursed from them for stormwater. I think they're more than happy to get that out of their account and into ours. We have one journal entry related to a building permit, and then you'll see the credit card detail also attached. Any questions anyone had over anything I went over, or any other questions?
That $2,000 for FES for the website,
yes.
That's just a standard?
Last year, a little bit more than that, so I'm not sure if it has something to do with maybe, I think there's a flat fee, and then maybe the amount of times that we have to contact them for changes or things like that.
Okay.
But that covers both the website and the app.
Gotcha.
Last year it was a little bit higher than that, really close to 3,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah, assuming. I know Kathy's taken on a lot more of that work for us, which is awesome to do stuff. So, that probably ended up to do the stuff.
Is the mapping quote, is that coming up later?
Yes.
Okay. So.
The what?
The mapping quote.
Yes.
That's later.
Well, we can talk about it now or we can talk about it later. Doesn't matter.
We've got it on the agenda for later.
Cool.
Okay. Looks good to me. Any questions for Aaron?
Make a motion to approve.
Got a motion to approve the treasurer's report. Second? Any Nolan seconds? Okay, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Matt report, Bill Cole.
Okay, let's take care of the things that are not on there. Blackie Beach is finding all of our records here, or we just allow them to keep that we could tap and visit. There are certain things we need for the spillway, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but that's one of the issues that we have with getting a record of what we've done in terms of the dam and the spillway since 1928. And that's basically what we have laid out. In terms of the dam spillways and downstream concepts for consideration report, which is a draft that you have in front of you as of this afternoon. I spoke with John on Friday. We did a first review on Friday. I did a thorough review with help of multiple lookers at it for text, and it is in draft form to you. And it's basically designed for us to take a look at it and discuss. Some of the topics.
Hang on one second, Bill. Is that what we're looking at?
Well, I've got, this is a full report.
You're talking about the email that was sent to us?
Yes, the email that was sent to you by Kathy should have all of the full report in it.
Okay.
These two pictures that she was nice enough, I think you all have a black and white 11 by 17 and a color 8.5 by 11. Is that correct? Yes, two of those. Okay, good. Excellent. And I have enough of those. You don't need to make
Kathy, the email he's talking about is on the internet. Right?
It is
right?
On the internet. Okay. It's the actual presentation is on the internet.
Yep. LQ Dam Spillway Downstream Concept for Consideration.
And which is on the screen over here right now. How would you like, I mean, we could spend, I can go on for 9 hours on this, but I doubt that's what you really want to do. But how would you like to talk about where we are and what I'm suggesting?
Well, I think it probably needs lengthy discussion.
And airing.
Is this something that we can dive into tonight or maybe plan a separate work session?
Let's try a 15-minute summary, and then we need a work session to make sure your brains are picked. We talked about how Q Inc. would be involved, Q Foundation would be involved, et cetera. But, John, you want to give them a five-second what you thought of it the first time you read it?
What I was just going to say is I think the summary you gave me Friday is perfect for tonight, and I would encourage everyone to read it. There's some fascinating stuff in here, some big picture ideas. My mind's spinning as to how between the foundation and Q Inc., there's a lot of co-op opportunities. This is big stuff, and I think exactly what we all wanted from our special works session where we were trying to say, in the event we need to issue municipal bonds, let's take it as big as we want and then start trimming it back. And I think this is big and it's awesome. And
So anyway, my take on it is, do the summation you provided me, which was very helpful and provided great context so that I had some semblance of whatever when I dove into it.
Michael? We all have that.
You're
holding up?
No. This is what
you have that on the internet.
That's on the internet, on the website.
Oh, it is.
Yes, you have that. Each one of you got a copy of that.
Yeah.
And it's really, I don't want it to go to a public disclosure. We're not trying to hide anything. I'm just saying you all need a chance to say, that's crazy. We're not going to do that. Or, wow, could you do this and that? Okay, so.
It's every bit of a 30-minute read, though. Anyway.
All right, so Mike Olson gave me a copy of old publications, a little bit of the history. It's included in there in very limited form. I corrected some of my own perceptions about when things were done. Hopefully they are all corrected, but it's open for, this is a living document. This is not a final. It's the main thing I want to make sure is clear. All right, if you want to just roll for just a second. I basically talk about a little further, ma'am, to the first one about purpose, process, payoff. What are we attempting to do here? It's very simple. I'm trying to start the process of us discussing what to do with these three assets and then how we would go about it and make sure it's an open document. Next page, if you would. My wife even liked it. Go back to this. I dreamed up this thing. We're trying to protect our assets right there. Protect our assets, enhance our environment, and build an even better community. That's kind of the catchphrase, I think, of work. And I want this to become a document that Q Foundation and the city of Lake Revere own. That's kind of the purpose, so I try to be inclusive. Keep going through your place. Best cost approach. There's a picture of the process area that we're talking about. Keep going. Let's see. Number one, who's our ruler? It's the Kansas Department of Agriculture, Bureau of Water Reclamation. They're the ones who tell us what we are. We're a Class C dam. It's a holiday drive. They don't even think about the railroad tracks. That's even more important if you think long term. But the fact that 1,500 vehicles are on that road daily makes us a Class C dam. We have to do all the precautions of all major dams in Kansas. So that's Big Brother, if you want to think about it. That's what we're trying to do. We had a phase one, phase two, phase three approach were the standard ones that we used. We did phase one. We drilled holes and injected. It worked. We didn't leak very much or at all until we were downstream. Phase two and three. Phase two is taking and drilling lots of holes in the existing upstream. Yeah, hold on a second there. So the part that's here, drilling holes into it, putting 6 inches of concrete on the top of it. We have to take off the shotcrete first. That's job one. It's about 70 feet long in this area, all the way underneath the bridge for the dam, so 20 feet past it. That's part phase two. That's all of phase two. Phase three is blow up the spillway and replace it. Make sure you got a toe on it so it doesn't erode in the future. Now, my estimates from my back of the envelope and from a concrete contractor that I know is about $1 million, maybe a little over $1 million to do those two left activities. Phase two, drill holes, new concrete. Phase three, blow up the downstream and fix it. So that's kind of the bogey that we're after. That's what it would cost to do. And we're all ready to do that. And we would end up with a fixed 100-year-old asset, the spillway, and hopefully upgraded for another X number of years. That's kind of the intent. So that would be job one. If we want to do that, we can do that. All right. That was the first thing that we looked at. I go through some factors that I think changed what you guys were looking at. The community here is changing. I'm an old guy, okay, where I was probably a normal guy in earlier years of Quivira. We had lots of kids. We have a younger generation, but we still don't want to lose what all this, the culture that we have here. We always are best cost oriented. Every fix that was done to the dam or the spillway was done at the lowest possible cost. Historically, that's how we have operated in most cases. Go up just a little bit if you don't mind. Fourth factor, safety. We have to think about the safety of both the fixing of it. And we've had some opportunities. People trying to drive golf carts into the spillway recently. Okay? Lucky we had a fence. People have driven two cars into the spillway. Okay. Building a spillway with a lake full of water is also dangerous. But the elevation we have difference there at the spillway is a major issue we need to think about. We also have two issues. The road is failing. Now, it's not failing today or tomorrow, but the road at Lakeshore Drive that meets with the stop sign, if you look at that wall, it's degrading. And we need to think about, can we solve a lot of issues with some stuff? And that's kind of the things from a engineering viewpoint that I had assets help me with figuring out. Last, and any recommendation that should not preclude later, greater variations. Now, my daughter told me, don't bring the plan of taking Renner right through here, trading this ground with Q8 for the ground you guys own over here, and having all this new area, giving a buck to Johnson County Wastewater, because that's what they give us that wastewater plant for, because it's not that well used. And we have a whole new area that we can do something with. She said, don't raise that idea, so it is not raised. Any questions on that for a bigger idea?
All I said was that changing a road leads to having to bury tar lines, curbing and guttering, you're adding
I don't want anything that I've proposed today to eliminate a future larger idea that we might want to do later on, whatever it may be. It's one of the things you'll see in this is kind of staying under control. Number, we'll stop right there for a second. Go back up just a little bit. Do we want to be a green city? Okay, that's another big question you had, Nate. Do we want to be a smart city? There's lots of things we can do to be a smart city. There's lots of money available from a variety of sources for us to think about that. What's a green city? We're renewables as much as we can. What's a smart city? It's one that's got communications. It's got all the other stuff done. Not part of this report, but I don't want to preclude those, and we need to think about that as a city. Last, I want to live here when I'm 96. I can't take care of that house when I'm 96. I may want assisted living. Not your doing necessarily, but it may be something that this city wants to help with or consider. Don't eliminate those ideas by anything we do here. That's kind of the point. All right, keep going if you would. All right, then I go through a whole bunch of stuff at the front end so you understand what we're dealing with. Keep going if you don't mind. History of the place, please read that when you get a chance. Keep going, just keep on trucking for a while. Current status of the damaged spillway, what it looks like now. A lot of degradation has happened in the last 20 years. And we need to think about what we're going to do to fix it. And whenever you're looking at assets, the first thing you do in our value engineering process that I learned at Black and Beach and others have learned is you have to fix it. Is there another alternative? And that's basically where we have gone. We already know what it takes to fix it. Now let's look at, is there other things we can do instead of fixing it? So you'll see a lot of that in this report. If you'll speed along for a while, I talk about the history, keep going, all the way to the sections that talk about the options, and then we can get through that information. This is discussing how, what we've got to do to the, when those pictures of the spillways, discussing what we have to do to fix those things. Keep going, about 2 or 3 pages. Right there, options, right there. Okay, so optionality survey. So what I'm looking at is what are we going to do with the spillways, the dam, and the downstream part, what could we do? And I want to make sure that we think about this. Are we going to do these all at once? Are we going to do these in a staged format? Or do we do them in a way that when we do something over here, it gives us the dirt to do something over there? So how coordinated they are. That's a big issue that needs to be decided, as I believe we've learned in spades on the community center. Sequencing, doing the okay. Enough said on that, but that's one of the things that's absolutely critical. As any project is planned out, if you look at the first ones, first big bullet, keep going. Right there. Dam, roadway, and pedestrian walkways. Okay, if you look at the one that looks like this, it's got a little breakout of this box right here. It's a little hard to see on mine. I hope it's okay on yours. Thank you for making me aware.
There's a page number that
helps 30. 30. 30 to page number and quarter. Thank you. So bear with me for a moment. Please look at this. Just look here for a second if you want to, or at yours. On the inside of the dam, the water side, don't worry about how to get over the spillway just yet, but from the edge of the spillway all the way across the dam, inside of the wall, not on the road, inside of the wall, 4 foot wide, pea gravel / composite material, slightly slanted so we eliminate our negative grade problem, all the way across to the other side where the auxiliary speedway, repeat after me, it's not emergency,
yeah.
Spillway is what that's called. Another bridge over that connecting to the walkway that is in front of the clubhouse. So we connect to Lakeshore West and we connect over here. Flagpole in the middle with a short outcropping benches around that flagpole. So instead of walking on the dam, you're walking inside the dam.
Right.
Okay, it's a damn walkway. That's what I'm calling it. Okay?
So you say inside again.
Water on my right, wall on my left, road over here as I'm walking towards the clubhouse. Okay, that's number one. And again, I didn't put any prices on any of these things until you all say, man, it's crazy. Don't even look at it. Okay, but we can get pricing on all of these things. There's people that do that right here in the community. Okay, now go to the other side. Another bridge. Don't worry yet about how to get over the spillway. But now you're on the grass side. From that corner, you go down a spine that goes the side from the spillway and the side from the dam. You walk straight down that spine to the bottom, and then you walk out along the bottom. It's called a tow walkway. And it's 4 to 6 feet wide. It goes all the way to the other auxiliary spillway, and then it goes back up to the dam. So it adds about 0.3 miles. It adds some cardio. It is the tow walkway. Okay? It's two of them. All right. Set aside the spillways for just a moment. Let's cover the spillways. It's probably a good time to do that. Questions on those two walkways?
Walkway on the lake side would be made ideally. Built of what? What type of material?
He's got it down here.
Flowable fill?
Yeah, flowable fill would be, it's got to be porous, the water goes through it. But be flowable fill. I've also talked to people about maybe putting a footing along the edge to hold it in place, or a rock, a limestone ledge.
Gotcha.
Okay, but it's basically crushed rock, so that water goes through it, but it's almost an imperceptible slant towards the water.
Gotcha.
So we have our drainage to satisfy that requirement, but we also have people safe from getting clobbered by cars going 40 on the dam.
Yep.
25. Should be going 10.
So is this like at the same, kind of the same height on the
If I'm standing on that walkway, the wall is right here next to me. Uh-huh. It's up to my knees, so it's 3 feet above where I'm at. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So I can see it, but I couldn't, if I'm on the road, I couldn't even see the walkway was there.
Yeah.
That's kind of the intent.
And the walkways are not either or.
No.
It could be an and.
This is an and, is what I would like it to be, because I want to see nature, so I'm going down there and look at the birds, or I want to, because it's noisy on that road. Right?
And even from the water side, it's not going to look like a concrete walk.
Correct.
Sidewalk.
Correct. Now, ADA will get after us, and maybe we'll need a 2-foot railing that goes along the other side, but to be determined. Okay. All right. Let's go to the next one. All right, spillway replacement. Now, this is the most challenging part of it. And the aha moment happened thanks to Kathy letting Tom Pegg and I sit here last week. He said, let's just go out and look at it. So when we went out and looked at some of the options that we were thinking about, his first answer was, just don't fix it. Don't fix the spillway. So downstream, modern spillways are now further downstream. He said, so option number two is make the lake continue through where the spillway is. Raise the spillway downstream a little bit on the north side of the bridge to a place about 150 feet down and make the spillway right there. That's where that beautiful waterfall will come over the top, etc. And looking at it, it takes a lot of dirt because you got to raise that spillway up, okay? But you didn't have to fix any of that. All that concrete we had to rip out, drill, and pour, we don't. We just raise it up and put a spillway down to that section and have a waterfall at that location. Okay? At the end of that waterfall, the waterfall falls backwards to the right out of the spillway. But straight ahead, you've got a giant valve in there that during times of emergency, pop that valve and it's going straight down the hill by pipe. Out of the way. So it deals with the emergency situation, and it deals with the beautiful waterfall we've talked about. Downside risk. You ever looked at the spillway? There's an arch there, isn't it? Yeah. Can you get enough water through that to meet the requirements of the state of Kansas? To be determined. We need Black and Beach's calculations, and we need to understand what could be done. So one of the things he suggested is blow up that bridge by setting a culvert underneath it. Box culvert is inside of that. By the way, now I've solved the walkway problem, haven't I?
Yeah, now I see what you're saying, getting from the lakeshore to
correct.
The dam.
And I've widened lakeshore's, the dam road's entrance into Lakeshore Drive. And I fill in that whole hole so that when you fall off and land in the spillway, you don't. It's now a slope. In fact, I might even cover up the entire spillway, even if it's got water in it. Follow me? So now I have three more dock sites that somebody can sell. or a marina for off-lake members.
Would it eliminate that stop sign right there too?
Handle the intersection however traffic should be handled. Okay. But that allows us to do things at that corner. By the way, on the other side, I don't need a metal bridge either. I fill it in with dirt covering, follow me, and I have a walkway on that side. The whole next door is how much water we can get down this building. Questions on option two?
Yeah. When you say if we have an emergency event and it goes down a pipe and it goes down the hill, where does that go?
To the river, to the creek.
But what does it go through to get to the river?
It goes through the part of our spillway that we still have.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I'm sorry, part of the canal.
Yeah.
Then it goes over the spillway if we wanted it to, or we pop open the valve, and it goes straight down in that creek.
So the same path is taken now.
Exact same
path. It's starting further to the
north. That's correct, starting further to the north. That's the first aha. Then it was, damn, this is an old spillway.
No pun intended.
Thank you. That was Tom's first grad. He said, let's just close it. Let's go over and look at the new one. So we spent 3 hours on Saturday looking at the new spillway. Excuse me, the auxiliary spillway. And he says, okay. I said, but I want a waterfall. He says, no problem. We put a 36-inch pipe in the existing spillway to allow us to run water to a waterfall. And we control the water. He says, I can get, with 10 gallons a minute, I can get a beautiful, he did the one at Lake Lenexa up here. Okay. He said, I can get a beautiful spillway out of whatever volume you want. Just got to cut the dam, cut the spillway correctly. And so if it's only for optics, you don't need much water. Then he said, come over, and we spent a lot of time analyzing it. Again, we've got to have Black and Beach's plans. How deep are the footings? How deep is the concrete? What do we need to do to that? And taking 2 to 3 of those vents that are in there, depending on which one of the graffiti you want to remove, we can choose on that. And we can make that the main spillway. Now, any of you have been to Lawrence, there's a dam up there that basically is a 1 megawatt power facility that has bladders that control water flow. Whole new technology, we could do that on the front side of that. The least expensive thing we could do is that option. Okay? Depending on how Black and Beach constructed that original one. Now, knowing Lake Quivira, we probably did the least expensive way, which will cost us more money to fix now. But if it was done, quote, correctly, and that there's a deep 5-foot footing holding up the road, we're good to go. A lot of jackhammering for a 2-week period, got ourselves a spillway. Lots of things downstream we can do. They're coming with the next discussion. But that would be the simplest solution. Now, think about what happened on the west. We cover that up completely except for the 36-inch pipe that's in the bottom of the existing spillway. We now have beautiful green space right there opening by the dam, or we have 3 more boat docks. Or we have a marina.
Yep.
Or we have whatever we want. Plus, I have 2 bridges that are no longer having to be built. I have paths that go all the way to the road. Plus, I have a wider road. Plus, we don't have a wall that people can follow, which is probably the most important safety thing. Plus, I didn't have to do all the work at that location. Here's the best part of the plan that Tom talked about. All that work can be done while everything's working. Then we knock down the wall on the front end, a part of the auxiliary spillway, and make it the regular spillway. Question, can we get enough water over that that we need to get over it? Again,
so
gotta have the Black and Beach numbers. Yes, ma'am.
So when you say, we knew that number one was, everything was kind of in the same place, it's just that we were gonna build it up and have a beautiful waterfall.
Yeah. I made it number 2, but yes, Gail, that was the first one I described. Sorry for my backwards.
Oh, that was number 2. That's
number 2, okay. In your writing it is.
Okay, but the yellow one that you just talked about is this brand new spillway, but it's on the east side?
It's on the east side. It's the one that's there right now. Mm-hmm. It's got 8 bays in it.
Okay.
10.
Okay, I don't remember. I guess I don't.
9 bays and 10 posts. Maybe it's 10.
We need 3.
We need 3 for it to, he thinks, just back in the envelope, he thinks we need 3 for the regular spillway. And we need the rest for the auxiliary, the emergency, the one which happened in emergency.
Oh, no. Yeah, I never see one.
Good. That means it's working.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I've got a video of the 2 of the 3 times since I've lived here that it's operated. Floods the soccer field.
Yeah.
By the way, floods of soccer field have been back swirls against the base of the toe of our dam.
Correct.
And that's a no-no.
Yeah.
Okay. So it needs fixing. Questions on the spillway to be determined when we get the Black and Beach stuff. I got the letter tonight that says, we have it all, Tom. You can pay this, or you can come to Black and Beach and look at it, or you can variety. So that's basically what we're going to decide this week and get that worked on. At the next meeting, I would have our recommendation for what we should do in that area. I'll also try and have pricing, conceptual pricing, plus or minus 20, 25, on the other options that we talk about. Questions on spillway stuff? I can get you to move to the other document. It looks like
29.
29, thank you.
Color 29.
Color 29. There are two other drawings on there. They are, quote, I'm sorry, they're irrelevant. They were the original thought we had of raising the original spillway. And it has an enormous amount of dirt work. Now, the bad news, sorry, David, the bad news, not enough head, not enough volume, according to things we've talked about now, for power generation in any place.
Okay.
But when we find out the truth from Black and Beach of what they think this thing can handle, or somebody can tell me when the day the water went over the top of the dam, which it happened, I guess, back in the 70s or sometime. But in terms of normal flow, we're not there. Okay, if you look at these things, take the red path at the very bottom that goes along. That's the toe of the, that's a toe walkway, correct? It is now also part of the park loop. Now, I throw in a lot of politics in this thing and say, I don't think we ought to call it Coronado because I don't want to run into all kinds of problems that we'll run into when we name things after people of interesting paths. So I basically call it the downstream park until told different. Any questions? So when you're a DP, it's the downstream park. That loop goes all the way around. You see it goes down past where Gail's working on that front, making it pretty, all the way back up by Tule Creek. Any questions on that loop? Gravel, 8 to 10 feet wide, walkable, bicyclable, etc. Go to the north left, upper left-hand corner, New Natural Mountain Bike Trail. That is a BMX mountain bike rugged trail that kids, Nick, Lecky, and other kids can do biking if they would like on a very challenging trail. Artificial turf soccer field in the middle. Not correct to dimension. I've tweaked it a little bit to a junior size field. So what Harris gets to play on half, he's still in the half size, is what that would be. That would be an all-weather field. Okay? Raised with some of the dirt we'll get from some other places that I'll talk about in a second. Frisbee golf is on the inside of the bike path, which is both forest and grassland. If you've been down here, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we go to the family picnic area, which is now where about the soccer fields are. And the outflow extension, and this is the wackiest of the ideas. I believe that we would have enough flow during those weather events and during our draining of the lake to a lower level to have a water slide-like event in our regular spillway, not the one that exists now. But if you take the road that goes behind the queue, and just follow it with that slant down to a spot where the jungle gym is below the queue. That may be possibly made into a water slide of some kind, depending on the volumes that we can get. At the bottom down there is a wading pool. That wading pool controls the amount of water we have to continue in the canal. So the slow-moving canal that's going to follow the loop trail and take all that water that came through our spillway down along the drainage ditch, or as close to the drainage ditch, as we can. I have no idea if that's possible, but I need the 10-foot wide, 5-foot deep. Jump in your, I don't know, water craft of some kind, inner tube, etc., and lazily go down there if you would like. That's more grown-up versus the Nick and Harris Lucky water slide. Either of the two. Questions on those? I have no idea if we can do that water-wise, and right about now is when you bring in the games and crafts landscape architect to charge you a fortune to figure out what those are, but if that's possible. But it basically uses as a water feature right there in front of the queue so people see it when they're trying to join this place. All of this beautiful stuff we got going on down there. Oh, last thing, amphitheater. Go to the bottom left-hand corner. So you're right here below where the, you're at the corner down there where the walkway, tow walkway comes down and the loop walkway comes around. There's a viewing thing for the waterfall. There's also a viewing thing for the waterfall above. But the amphitheater is for basically exactly what it says. It's built into the two slopes. It's five rows deep, and there's got a little stage there. And we want to have a play or listen to a guitar, or high school kids get together and do what high school kids do down in the valley without cars around. Maybe you'll be there watching too. at least they would be in a different place than on a trail that's harder to get to, et cetera, et cetera. But that'd be a nice feature for people who think spending money on sports is not a good idea. That's non-sport. Okay. Those were the brain burps of two engineers and a guy trying to figure out what we should do with an area that is incredibly beautiful, very diverse, and has a lot of potential. But it's also in a floodplain. In case of disaster, can have people or structures in it, and shows that we're taking advantage in an open manner of what we can do. Let's go through a whole bunch of things. Queuing owns it, you don't. You're responsible for it because it's in a floodplain. Okay? Who's going to own it when you're done? Somebody gets hurt on it and queuing owns it. I think I remember a story about a guy jumping off a diving board. I don't want to have that happen again. Maybe you need to own it. I don't know. But we need to think about how that would work out. Who runs it? Who takes care of it? All those types of questions need to be answered in a group format and discussed. And at some point, we got to decide, how do we build it? How do we pay for it? All those are framed in here, but not answered. I think I covered nearly everything, John.
You left out the part where you're, you open this carnival up with you giving gondola rides like you're in Venice on your water feature.
Okay. So that's what's in front of you. I'd love any comments. I've tried to fix all of the spelling errors that I could find, but I probably have missed a few. And I think we need to have this group give feedback. It also lays out next steps. A marriage between, thank you, Kathy, a marriage between QF, the city,
yeah,
to figure out how to do it, who's responsible for what, clearly defined lines of authority. And then we've had a great example of, we have a beautiful Q center. I mean, it's gorgeous. But we have a great example of how not to build it. Okay? So if that's the case, let's learn from that. And how do we make community out of this thing?
Well, this is incredible and it's exciting, and I think there's a, just based on what's going on with interest from the foundation, the Lakeshore Foundation, a couple months ago, we did hire Kelly Thompson with Olson to do a master plan down there, which is actually very, we haven't hired yet, but he's got it ready. We just need to get the grant approved. A lot of this is down there. He's talked about the artificial turf field, the picnic area, some sort of trail bike loop, the waterfall viewing platform, and then some other things, you know, kind of restoring the Coronado Spring area, some of the old fire pits, stuff like that. So a lot of this kind of overlaps, but, you know, Queuing's getting on board with this Duck Derby now. They're going to donate funds to kind of that restoration of the spring area down there. You know, as Brad Bodden said, that's a lot of green space down there that we just don't use. But now more than ever, people, kids and adults, are wanting to get outside and, you know, do things. And that area is perfect. I think you're right. I think it's going to be a huge effort between City, QA, Foundation, whoever else we need to get involved. Andy, what are your thoughts on this? I mean,
with the foundation, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I first of all, Bill, great job. I mean, this is the kinds of projects that I think we need to be so much more strategic in how we approach things across all three, you know, city, QInc, and the foundation. So this will be, I think, a good test for us to work together and figure out what is the best for the comp. You know, what can we all come put our input in and then come up with a solution that everyone can be happy with. So I think the foundation will be very, very interested in helping move some things forward as much as it can. I mean, there's the foundation has its limits, too.
Right.
From a perspective of, and this is for a different conversation, but we've got to figure out from a foundation standpoint how we can make a continual giving, make it so that we can just have more opportunities for Quiverans to be able to leave legacy or to really have a way and a means to, you know, fund the foundation so we can continue to do great things. Because right now, you know, we're limited. I mean, what we've been doing, and I think across the community, people have been stalling out maybe just because of COVID and everything. There was a lot of push when Q2 came on, a lot of fundraisers, a lot of money being expended. So I think people have sort of contracted a little bit, but I think that'll start gearing up again and allow us to be able to do more of these big, big picture things.
Yeah, I think so too. Is this something that, not for the public, but maybe we can...
Well, I think anybody at Quivira can read this and make a comment to you all.
Okay.
But right now, I have talked with
Eric.
Yeah, I talked with Eric today, but it was on a different topic, and I raised this and showed it all to him. He mentioned the study that's being done, or about to be done, etc. And he said, there's nothing in there that I'm opposed to. It sounds great. And then I showed it to Dean, and his head spun a few times, and he said, this looks really, you are out of the box. So a couple of other ideas that took me way out of the box, ones I haven't even told Aaron yet. But those two are informed. That's the only thing I've done besides putting it in front of you. Now, my intent is that with your okay, unless I hear differently, try and find pricing, rough guess pricing, back of the envelope pricing for each of these activities, or maybe wait and let, because the Ryan Safe Architect guy would have a lot deeper knowledge in some areas than I would, but also to give you the idea of which spillway solution. And Tom is a wizard at this, but he is not going to stamp drawings. We are not going to do construction. He will be happy to help be the, you know, program manager if we did something like that, but we need to go then to our engineer. And frankly, here in town, Black and Beach has the only watershed management folks that do this type of work. But the rest of the stuff is hardcore civil. There's a whole bunch of folks, Olson, McClure, Burns and other ones, but he's going to go check on the water flows that we get out of our valley here, watershed, because those numbers are changing dramatically because of concrete everywhere.
Right.
And we got to be prepared for that type of thing. Worst thing that happened is we build a wonderful site that gets blown up by.
Well, the next foundation meeting is a week from Friday, and I would assume, I hope I'm not speaking out of place, but I would assume that grant for the master plan, the study, will get approved. We've got a donation for that. So I would say, you know, wait till then.
Okay.
Next Friday, and we'll go over all this.
Okay, so I'll take my direction and say, find the spillway answer that we recommend and nothing else, and then we'll go from there. And, like, give them this as kind of feedstock. It is interesting. I did not talk or was aware of them, and we came up with similar answers. But.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay, so as far as the work session, John, you want to maybe reach out to Kathy after this meeting and figure when the best time for everybody to be there is? Is Bill allowed to be at a work session?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Is that something you want to wait until after?
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, it's a week from Friday. So.
Yeah, I think.
So the following weekend, so starting on the 20th through the 25th, maybe that week.
Yeah.
Unless wedding plans. Maybe the following week.
Probably the following.
Yeah. But,
now, I did leave out the slip line. It was going to go from the biggest tree over there to completely over the spillways. But that would be the money maker.
I know that you haven't shown this to Mike Olson about the slide because he hasn't said anything to me about it.
No, I have not shown it to Mike on the slide.
He definitely would. Okay.
But there's a tree in my backyard that you could get all the way over to Blessing Park with, and I think we could make a fortune.
Will, I have a question.
Yeah, please.
You mentioned Mike Lenexa. Would that be a good place for us to go if we wanted to look at something that's similar to this?
Yeah.
It's a different emergency spillway solution, yes. That type of thing.
It would be good to look at from capability in terms of what Tom did along with another team, the rest of the team at Black and Beach.
Are there any others around town that would be?
Probably not. There's, okay. The one in terms of the spillway and how it could operate, that's up at what do you call it, in Lawrence, on the north side of Kansas River, where the power plant is. There's a 1 megawatt plant, and it basically uses bladders. They're basically pillow bladders that they either accept more water or not out of that. And he's recommending that type of approach to our regular spillway. That way we can control the flow out of it. But Lakeland X is probably about the best one here in town.
Okay.
Any other questions for Bill?
Thank you.
Bill, as always, thank you for all the information. Love seeing how passionate you are for it. Really appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
This could be awesome. Okay, police chief report. Did everybody get a hard copy of that? I don't know if it was uploaded to the internet.
I don't have anything to add to my report, and we'll keep the meeting rolling. Unless if anybody has questions after the fact, they can feel free to email me as well.
I am good with that. Anybody have any immediate questions for Fred? Or you want to email him later if you find something?
I just had a question about the incident of last week. Did we make any progress? Because I don't know if some people even know about. So.
Yeah, so somebody obviously hit the fence. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Hit the fence and damaged the rock wall on the west side of the dam, right over the spillway, in a golf cart. In my opinion, they were very lucky that fence was there, which when we built that fence, there were people that hated it, but it definitely saved that golf cart from going down into the spillway. There is an injury, hospital stay. They contacted Q8. Q8 directed them to me. I got a call yesterday. They're wanting to pay for the fence and the rock wall. The rock wall is already it's very fragile. I think they're going to have a hard time finding a base to actually start rebuilding that. So it's going to be a tough one. Plus, it's they're going to have to start from that ledge down at the halfway down the spillway with maybe on a ladder.
Scaffolding
something. So it's not going to be cheap or easy, but that's where we're at. So.
We're very fortunate that this has not happened.
Well, that was the reason we did it, to keep golf carts, bikes, walkers. I mean, at one point that wall gets down to like 10 inches. I mean, it's just so much. And then you had a 25-foot wall or whatever it was. So, that fence wouldn't have been there. Who knows what would have happened. So.
Amazing, a golf cart, but it doesn't have a dam.
I know. I agree. Yes. I agree.
I've had lots of people ask me if it was a tow truck, it was, from the looks of it, it was.
Yeah.
Appear more.
Yeah. And pretty serious injuries too, from what I understand. So very, very lucky there.
So if it's a grass slope that gently drops down to the lake.
There you go.
It's not a bad idea, huh?
Yeah. Not at all. Okay. Thanks, Fred. Michelle, do you have anything to report?
Yes, it was not. So.
All right, we'll move on to city council responsibilities. I'm going to start down with Dave. That's all right.
Happy to start. I sent the list of events going on to Waste Management so they know not to put in any gas pipes while we're having a nice event here. I can let Anderson do that. And he did say that the new cell, the new hole in the ground, opens Monday. A week from today. And he said within 25 days they'll be putting that's going to be their single point of deposit, basically. So it should be by early November that will be fully functioning. So that's been a long time coming, as everybody knows. So I think that relationship is going well. I think that's a win.
Dave, Brady, and I had a meeting with Shawnee last week, and they were kind of asking us towards the end of it how everything had been going. And we kind of give them the updates that you have provided. And, they are hearing the same information, which I felt like was a good thing.
Good.
Well, I don't know if they were just kind of telling us what we wanted to hear, but if so, then they're telling Shawnee the same.
Okay. Of course, we're like this, but
yeah,
we're subject,
depends how the wind blows and where, you know, it's a giant dump right down the street. So we'll just hope this helps today. We do have the chicken ordinance. Michelle and I were emailing back and forth on that today. Just kind of fine tuning a couple of the last specifics. What, in your opinion, is that something next meeting?
That'd probably be fine. We're just kind of down to size of coop, size of run, just some of those kind of details. I think we've pretty much got everything else ready to go. We'll need to wait to vote on it here, though, until the Planning Commission makes. We have a couple of things to change with that.
Right. So
I think timing-wise, they'll probably be the December meeting before you guys can ultimately vote on it.
Right.
Just because of the timing of notifications and everything.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's all we're down to. Once I come back and rewrote some things on it, that's pretty much it. It's just trying to figure out minimum size, maximum size.
And the containment of making, you know, there needs to be a, you know, a chicken run so the chickens can run around in it, but not be free-ranging in somebody else's yard.
Well, so trickier ordinance than we thought.
Yeah. Everybody can order their chicken coops for Christmas if we get a long time. That's the goal, I think, all along.
That's all I know.
Okay, did you get your fuel stick yet?
No. I know. I called James Coop again. I'm like, so two Saturdays in a row, I was leaving and the fuel truck was there. I stopped. I breathed the middle of the road, left Joey and Jack in the car, ran over there. I'm like, you have my measuring stick. You have my measuring stick. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I've been waiting on this thing. And then it happened the next Saturday. The first guy said, yeah, I'll tell the dispatcher. We'll get one out here. And it happened again a couple Saturdays ago that I called James and he's like, he's my contact at it's called Triangle Fuel, but they're all owned by Double Check, and they're all owned by like one big company. But he said he was going to make sure I got my measuring stick. So once I have that, well, good luck.
I mean, they've gotten their $10,000 payment.
Yeah.
So that should at least give us a free measuring stick.
Yeah, exactly. So that should be, I'll let you know as soon as I have it.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, great.
First up, Holiday Drive Guardrail. I emailed Troy Shaw, who's the county engineer at Wyandotte, and asked him what it looks like on the guardrail, because it's now, I think, even lower than the street. And he said they're looking into it. They've got concerns removing the existing post may further destabilize the hillside, creating an unsafe condition on the roadway.
Yeah,
they've hired a consultant to go out there and take a look to see what they can come up with.
And you also sent him some pictures of the truck that...
Correct, the truck that...
somehow ended up in an angry
angle over there and slipped up over the edge.
Yeah.
And tires spinning against the guardrail. So,
yeah.
Yes, I did send those pictures as well.
Greg, whatever day it was that they were doing, Wyandotte had some road project at the exit for Holiday Drive.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember what day that was recently, if someone knows, there was a, and I will say, kid wearing his vest that said Wyandotte County on it, standing on the road, staring at it like this. When I left to go someplace, and then he was still there when we came back, which I thought was kind of funny.
He was thinking.
Yes. He was perplexed by it.
Did you put all the phones and stuff up there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think we need to follow up with that, because I've heard from a lot of residents, thank you, the road looks great, but, and I agree, yeah. I mean, it looks, you know, it's potentially more dangerous now than it was, you know. The road's good, so people aren't swerving out of that lane.
But the road was lower, so they
So we kind of knew that hillside wasn't stable. And so now they're saying, well, but we've got to come up with something, you know. So
I'll put a reminder in my phone to get back with them like in a week or so and start knowing.
Yeah, I would just say we had, you know, tons of people at our council meeting complaining about it. Yeah.
Can I just ask a question? Because I felt very unprepared. So I got a call from a neighbor who was actually there during this. And I just think I didn't have enough data either. I haven't been paying attention. I just didn't know. Like, Fred ended up getting called in, but they should have just said, call 911, right? Is that what should have happened?
Well, I think I said, was somebody hurt? Or stuff? You know, that type of deal. So call 911.
But it just made me aware as a city council person, if someone called me and Fred and crew aren't on, what's my protocol? Because I felt like, oh, should I go down there, call Brady? It was like, I didn't quite know that I was helping the situation. I mean, Fred was on his way, but was that really the right thing to call Fred in for this particular instance?
Not in my opinion.
A 911 call would have went to me anyway. Mm-hmm. It would have just taken a little bit longer. This was not a 911 call. There was no emergency other than a road being blocked.
But would it have at least gotten Shawnee here to help get the traffic, you know, keep the road safe or get people routed around?
Potentially, yes.
Because I thought maybe that should have been. I kind of got in at the last minute. Yeah. I just don't feel like I knew what to do exactly. So.
Yeah, I mean. My response has always been, if somebody's hurt or if it's an emergency, call 911.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people just call the front gate.
Right.
Yes.
That has to do it. Right.
And that's how the call initially came to me, was via the front gate.
Was the gate. Yeah.
So, as a council member, if someone calls you with advice of how someone should, you're not there. It's the same. If in doubt, you have to make that call. If you feel that it's a 911 call, you call 911.
Yeah.
If you feel it's a non-emergency, call the non-emergency line. So, in my opinion, that was a non-emergency call.
Yeah.
Specifically, if you look at it this way, if I were to drive lights and sirens here in emergency mode, am I putting the city at more liability with running lights and sirens to a non-emergency call? So, if that helps you put that in the scale of decision-making. So.
And then just to confirm, Fred, like the coverage of the police department, at what time do you guys end, since we're not, we're beyond Labor Day, so then what's the coverage again?
This incident dealt with an officer calling in. So we had someone scheduled. He had obligations to his full-time employer, and the officer on duty left. I was going to come in. Unfortunately, I was battling a migraine. So I was going to come in about 6:30 or 7, and about 5 minutes after the officer forwarded the phone to me is when I got the phone.
Okay. I didn't know after a certain time. I know we don't have coverage, so I just wanted to make sure we all knew what that was.
Yeah. Good question.
And the same kind of incident can happen when we have an officer that's arrested someone. Dealt with a case that took me over 3 hours of being tied up. So it's the same kind of issue, but in those circumstances, if the phone came to me and I was able to answer it, I would ask dispatch to send an additional unit from Shawnee or whoever to help until we clear that. But there's always going to be times where an officer isn't just always available.
But we have a reciprocal with Shawnee. I mean, that's their responsibility to come and cover, so that's always...
No, there's no... And
not for
you, we don't pay them. That's
no,
just,
but I don't mean reciprocal, I guess. They just cover for...
It's at the request of the agency making that call.
Mm-hmm.
I can ask whoever to respond. I can ask Edwardsville. I could ask Kansas Highway Patrol. It's, if they're willing to do that, if they have the manpower to do that. My request for assistance gives them the legal authority to enforce the laws and take action here.
Unless you're talking about calling 911?
No, no.
Okay.
I was just thinking in general.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
I signed the contract for the washout asphalt repair on Lakeshore. Last council meeting, Gail asked for more of a scope of work, so I got that today. Forwarded to Kathy, and I think I actually sent it to Gail this afternoon as well.
So I know we approved up to a certain amount. What did it come in at?
It's the same dollar amount as last time. It just has more of a scope of work on it.
Okay.
As opposed to just repair and replace.
Okay. And they, I think you said, I saw somewhere they're going to try end of October.
By the end of October, yes.
Okay.
I did ask for time frame. Yeah. Okay, include from email also just so that you get a heads up.
Yeah. And I would let Q Inc. know if you get a heads up that they're gonna be out, start work on a Monday, just call Eric or Dean or somebody, just give them a heads up.
Okay.
Cool, thanks Greg. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Ian?
Yeah, and I'm gonna go ahead and jump in with since Ray's here.
Yeah.
So I have three things I want to talk about. The first is the camera, then I want to talk about the tree ordinance, and then I'd like to just do a quick follow-up on our COVID meeting.
Yep.
Interesting. So anyway, we've got Ray Ansari here. He's my neighbor on Terrace Trail South, and he is the owner of HCI, and they're an engineering consulting firm. And Ray's been kind enough to work with Dave and I on what started out just as the camera project for the making sure that we get good camera coverage over with the dumpsters and stuff. And so what this has kind of morphed into, and I'll have Ray talk a little bit here too, is really much broader scope than just a camera purchase. It's really helping us, like Bill kind of alluded to, this more bigger strategy. This is really us talking about Sevier maybe looking towards being more of a smart city and having, you know, communications and infrastructure in place that we can sustain the community in a lot of different ways. So, you know, I don't know, Ray, if you want to speak for just a few minutes or?
Sure, I'm not prepared like Bill was. Maybe another time I can have a dedicated attention. But really a few years ago when Google decided not to come to Lake Rivera, I started thinking about how can we have high-speed internet without Google. So I started thinking about a mesh network. And a few years gone by, and then we started thinking about the cameras or the dumpster is. And then obviously what we wanted to do was to be able to be totally separate from Q Inc. and have everything associated with the city separate. And then we started looking at cameras, the cost. It's not just the cost of a camera. There's all the infrastructure that's needed where you store the data, you power it, and you're able to view it. So there's a lot of cost associated with putting up a $1,000 camera.
Yeah.
So because of those costs, when we met with Dave, Annie, and Fred a couple months ago, and we started walking and trying to see where we could place the camera. Then we started looking at communications and how do we communicate the images back to the city hall. So make a long story short, it's getting to a point where the costs are going to go high depending on what the budget is. And if there's an opportunity, if there's a grant available from the federal government or from the state, that we can take advantage of to be basically working towards a smart city type of solution, mm-hmm. I suggest that we start looking at that. And again, it's all about resiliency. Where does Lake Quivira fall in with Q Inc., and how does the city separate itself? There's a lot that we need to learn, and there's looking into the future, just like Bill mentioned, age in place is a factor. Creating a smart home where it's positive for both the city and queuing to be able to attract new residents, regardless of their age. So that all falls into being smart, being resilient, being sustainable. So we're at a point, I think we have some quotes, and I've basically been volunteering, and we're willing to, as a company, to provide all the parts and everything that's necessary, the infrastructure to provide the first or the second camera, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and start working towards creating a network. It doesn't have to happen all at the first day, first week. It's how do we start it so we can actually utilize the potential grants that are available. So we want to be smart about it. We want to look into the future, plan it ahead, and even the few $1,000s that's needed to be spent on getting a camera, why not that be the grant? Why not that would be for that to be the start of a much larger network and resiliency program that the city could be part of.
Yeah.
And I think part of what we were excited about is the CARE funds, whatever we don't as a city utilize, that would be a great raise. Willing to do things at cost for his equipment side. He's got several strong partners that he thinks he can create a test case with the city of Lake Quivira that we can, you know, from cameras to more communication boxes, I think, or the actual network providers. So I think he's going to keep working on that. But, if we can carve out some to kind of create that initial purchase or, you know, because it would involve not only the cameras, but, you know, the switches, the enclosure that Ray puts together, that's all the batteries and all the communications and gear, then the actual pole, then there's solar batteries that we need, because it's all a standalone system is what we're trying to create. So anyway, I would like to try and earmark some of those funds for this first project. I know we have some dollars set aside for the cameras themselves through the budget, but then in addition, I think we could make really good use of some other funds as well.
Okay. I love the idea, and I love hearing about it because I don't know enough about this stuff, but I think it's something that we need to continue looking at, and whether it's through various grants or whatever, let's keep going forward, in my opinion.
We've been discussing with Nokia, we're actually creating shelters and designing power for a program that they have. It's like a public-private type of program where they would put in private network, 5G network for cities. There are a couple of projects in Florida and Aurora, Illinois that we're working on. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I've talked to Bosch for their cameras. They're willing to give us some cameras to install, which actually there's no need for the city or us to to pay for cloud storage because that's part of what the camera is providing. And there's a lot of benefits.
Yeah.
So is that something that, so here we are in the city, right? You know, just City Hall and in our area here. And then we've got, it seems like we constantly are having issues with all the internet connections and just the Q8 just seems to constantly have issues with systems going down and all of that. And I don't know why all that is or whatever, but is this something that we need to get them involved in the very beginning to understand what their overall IT strategy and, you know, all of this is? Because clearly we're not involved in much of that at all, are we?
But we will be. I mean, we want to be.
We want to be, yeah.
We want to drive that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I would see them as a partner, but again, as Ray, back to Ray's point, part of it is that we have to maintain the distance between the two, in this case specifically. So they would be a customer, in essence. There could be a customer on our network once we kind of get that thing, you know, up the vision. So I don't know if it's quite there where we're ready to kind of pull those players in. I think we got to get our shops together on this side. But, yes, eventually I think it's a much bigger scope than just us.
Yeah. And in regards to the CARES money, you know, you got to be careful about what we're asking for.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that later.
Okay.
I thought I had a really good idea before the meeting, and I asked Erin. She's like, which I appreciate the honesty. Don't get me wrong.
Here is always appreciated.
Yes.
Not pirating,
yes.
Doing,
yes.
Flying, something like that.
So Ray and I will keep working, just kind of getting some things moving. But So the other two things I wanted to say. So the tree ordinance, we're meeting tomorrow. We've got a committee together, six of us. So if anybody has anything that they want to share with me before then, just send me an email. We're meeting tomorrow at 3:00. Erin, did you happen to have anything on the tree, our tree stuff?
I have contacted one of the only local cities around that I know of that's also a tree city was Parkville, and Parkville, Missouri. I reached out to their city manager and
nothing.
Never got anything back from them.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So we'll just keep exploring that. So anyway, that's moving forward. And then the last thing I had was Brady and Dean and I met on September 24th with Alan Greiner, who is the health officer for Wyandotte County. And this was an issue that was raised at the last meeting where specifically the issue was whether we had to, if they could somehow Wyandotte would agree to not allow mask wearing for the tenants portion at the Q2. And I don't want to get in trouble, so
no.
Brady, just correct me.
Go ahead. I mean, I had it on my...
It was a frustrating conversation, in my opinion. But I understand where he was coming from. But it was, to me, I think Wyandotte County is very conservative in their approach and how they're governing the health issue from a perspective of, he explained their city commissioners that he works with as a health officer. And it sounds like they're more partnered, so they kind of move together. Whereas I got the feeling that on the Johnson County side, because it seems more aggressive and less conservative, their health officer or their city commissioners are driving that much at a much stronger force than the health officers. So that's why you're seeing such the disparity between the two counties. What's frustrating, I guess, from my point is 95-98% of the Lakeview community resides in Johnson County. So it just seems, and we are the only tennis court facility, you know, in Wyandotte County. So that was a little frustrating, I guess, from that point. But, you know, obviously they're not going to make an exception for this one call out, and it was a, you know, it was just one piece of it. But he did go through and walk us through the data that they're going off of in coming to the decisions that they've come to. We did raise the idea of maybe going to one of their commissioner meetings and just chatting with them. I don't know much. I don't know if you were able to find anything on that or not.
Yeah, I talked to Commissioner Christian Salazar, who I've met a couple times, and just kind of didn't ask him straight out, but just kind of told him here's kind of what's, and wasn't going to be a positive response. And really, to me, we've got a good relationship with Wyandotte County, and I would rather, you know, if we're going to ask for a favor, you know, let's keep it to our roads and, you know, help with other things. And so after talking to him, and he basically just said, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Like you said, you know, if you got Alan Greiner, who also works with three or four other doctors who all make this decision, and the commission is kind of in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And there really was just no, I mean, there's just no way around it, unfortunately.
I mean, I don't know. I guess the whole purpose, in my opinion, of that meeting was to kind of understand what data they're using and how they're driving their decisions. And so I feel more informed. He doesn't see this getting any better anytime soon. In fact, he was very, very much said, you know, that with the advent of fall here and the flu season on, he didn't see things were going to change. So I guess the point of us meeting with him wasn't really to change their minds. It was really to kind of just get a better pulse on where they were.
Was there a checkpoint they're looking for, like cases dropping to a certain number, or?
I didn't hear anything.
That's why
it seemed a little like, okay. I mean, the point was, we thought, you know, when we got to this point, that it was going to be, they were going to do something, but they kind of moved the goalpost. And I think they don't have anything definitive. And I think that's what's frustrating is that, okay, well, I think everybody wants to follow the rule and do the right thing, as long as they know what the end game is.
Yeah, I think you said that they get about 30 positive cases a day of the ones that they know about, so there's more out there that aren't getting tested that might be positive. And he did say that he sees this, the rate increasing as more people are staying indoors because of the weather, mixed with flu season and all that. And I think, like Ian said, that he just being conservative, super conservative, whether you agree with it or not. That's just where he was coming from.
So is that the end of the road for us then on this topic?
Well, end of the road for on this maybe specific instance, I feel like. Now, I do think it would be in our best interest in serving the community by staying, though, more engaged with them from a perspective of not only gathering information, but having a presence so that they know, you know, there's not pressure on them, but people are paying attention and wanting to know what's the end game here or what are we doing to move this thing forward so that they feel like there is an end result that everybody can feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
So I do think that we should stay, and I was going to respond to his note, and he said he'd be willing to meet with us again.
Yeah, he said he'd meet every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
With
the weather, so. So I don't know. The squeaky wheel? But I'm just saying it's good, I think, as I feel like, to let the officials know that there are people that we're paying attention and we want to, you know, we just want information and know how they're making their decisions. So.
Yeah. That was well said. Yeah. Okay. We had one other thing in?
Nope, that's it. I'm done.
Brady, didn't you say that QInc does have the option for that, just if you're looking at that particular case that they were trying to talk about, that they could go to the commission if they wanted to?
Yeah, so it would be better coming from
the person who actually wants to
host
the business.
So
but that's QInc, right?
QInc or however you want to do it. That was the impression I got.
As opposed to the city asking for QInc.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought somebody read something to me yesterday. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, that made it sound like they had figured out how they could play their tin cap.
Okay.
I don't know. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, Aaron said the last couple of years they just had to rent a space somewhere in.
Before, we've always rented with like either Northland or like a different park. I will say that I am probably the worst tennis player on the team and on the lowest level of team. And when Graham put in that we are more than happy to host, but you will have to wear a mask, no one even batted an eye from the opposing teams.
Oh, no one batted an eye.
So they are hosting bad tennis player tournaments.
Oh, bad tennis.
At the community center. I believe that the people who are getting a little bit more angry and upset about that are the
semi-pros.
Much more competitive tennis players.
Okay, so that was the solution at this point. They could at least.
I am purple. That's the lowest color that you can get with the worst score, and we are hosting purple at the community center.
Okay, so some of the leagues are.
Correct.
Going through.
Then there's orange and green and white, and I cannot speak for the rest of them.
Gotcha.
But he did, you know, that we have as purple players says he has not heard any kind of pushback whatsoever from other pros or players.
Gotcha.
I can't speak for those much more athletically gifted.
Yeah.
Hey.
You're definitely not purple here at City Hall.
You're platinum or whatever color that
is. My skills do not reflect in the.
Like, if we wanted to do, like, send an invitation out to people if they wanted to do a Zoom and have that available and have him on our next one. And
I could ask him.
I'm just wondering if that would be a service to, like, City, let him know what's going on. You know, let them hear from him. I think he should be available. I mean, we're a city, just like.
I can guarantee you, I'm sure he probably does stuff like that all the time. I had a city manager's call with the Johns County one.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of
2 weeks ago.
Stuff,
so I'm sure he would be happy to.
I'll reach out to him and ask him.
We might
have it in the ballroom.
It might
have it in the ballroom.
No, or Zoom. No, I'm
Zoom.
Just saying, he only does Zoom, I think.
Oh, he does.
Okay.
I think maybe the easiest way to approach it would be Zoom with questions submitted ahead of time.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, too.
Yep.
Okay.
Got a few things here, all quick. One, Mayor's Christmas tree confirmed November 28th, 5:30. Talked to Faith at the clubhouse. She's going to bring it up at one of her early meetings with the new chef, who's supposed to be announced in the next couple of weeks. And they're going to come up with something that will, they said rather than having a bar, they may pass out stuff, you know, whatever. But they'll come up with something. So anyway, that's in the works. As it relates to the dam, Bill did a far better job of covering all that stuff than I could ever dream of. Hopefully everyone reads the report. We can get a special meeting going. I will follow up on that. For Brady and for Annie on the foundation, as you might recall, when we're looking at the power line issue on the back of our house, going from the pole to the house, the person we met from Evergy that was there said they bid everything for free. So I got the bid back from, so this would be the pole and behind Colson's house to the pole behind Margaret Bowker's house. I looked, it's roughly 300 feet, ballpark. The bid was with easements and whatever, $110,000. The cooks who moved in next door, we tried to tell them that was their move-in and initiation fee. They didn't bite. So we're not doing that. But for the purpose of the foundation, ballpark $400 per foot to bury. So I've heard as high as $600 or $700. So $400 was actually encouraging, and that number came in lower than to use a Bill Cole term, a back of the envelope bid that she gave me on the spot. So it's not cheap, but you know, I think as it relates out here, you know, you can, you know, 100 feet. Yeah. Might make a big difference. I think if the foundation wants to go halvesies, I could probably get, you know, I think if halvesies, my neighbors might be more interested, you know. So anyway, I just wanted you guys to have that number to take to the meeting, and as the foundation's going to figure out priorities, that's just one instance. I can also provide a contact, and this lady was smart on it, great, and she said, no, if you're not in a rush, just give me a month, I'll bid anything you want. So,
so really, that kind of falls along to the same price that,
yeah,
was
anything,
received, because that was, what, 800,000, and I think there's, what, 12, 14 poles there?
Yep.
Yeah. The way I look at it from a queuing and a city standpoint and a foundation standpoint is that burying power lines is a priority. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but I think if there's some sort of co-op or whatever, and we'll keep working on the cooks and see if they'll bite on that, because that would be nice. So last item is the non-discriminatory ordinance. For quick context, we kind of started this conversation a year ago, and then we had the change at the city attorney level, and then we decided when COVID hit that this is something that the public needed the opportunity to opine on. And so Michelle and I have had the chance to visit about it a handful of times over the last month, and the long and the short of it is at the federal level, at the Supreme Court, there was I've got so much paper in front of me, I don't even, that there's, basically at the Supreme Court level, there's enough cases now where it's probably not even necessary at the city level, based on ruling. Additionally, a lot of entities like home occupations and not-for-profit like Q Inc. are exempt anyway, and so through a lot of research, Michelle's talked to a lot of some people that are, I guess, specialists in this area. It would make most, we have come to the conclusion that it would make the most sense at the city level rather than to make it an ordinance, make a declaration or proclamation that this is how the city feels. It wouldn't be necessarily enforceable, but it would create a stance, and we don't really need for it to be enforceable anyway, so our intent is to draft that and present it at the November meeting so that we can do that. So that'll wrap a bow on it. It's not ending exactly what I would have thought when we started the conversation, but all's well that ends well. So, Michelle, anything you want to throw on to that?
Just a couple things. The actual case that came in was in June of this year, so it kind of happened during the time we were waiting. It was actually three cases that were decided, and then they also just won. Where it basically says Title VII, so under federal law, an employer can't discriminate on the basis of sex. It was applied to a homosexual case, a transgender case, and I guess two homosexual and one transgender case. So basically sexual identity, sexual are now covered under Title VII. So previously, when all these communities were adopting ordinances, they had to have an investigator, a hearing officer, an appeals board in place so that if a complaint came to them, they had due process, someone wasn't just accused of something and there was ramification and consequence of that. So now that it's been decided at the U.S. Supreme Court level, if we were to put something like that in place, it isn't necessary at this point, I guess, from an employment standpoint. And there are lots of little traps that can be fallen into when a local government places people in positions like that. A lot of times personal opinions come out that get attributed to a city. There's just a lot of liability and issues associated with that now we don't have to worry about. Because it wasn't going to just be something where we could pass an ordinance and then say, okay, that's it, we're done. We really would have to be concerned about how to enforce it and how to implement it. Whereas with this, now the federal government has things in place, and the Supreme Court has said those are attributable to the things we were concerned about before, we don't have to do that. So again, like John indicated, Q Inc. would have been exempted out of it anyway. Looked at the number of the communities in the area, all of those types of organizations were exempted out. So really, it was going to be very limited in breadth and scope anyway. So there's no arrest. You can still make it, take a position, but it's not something that you have to then worry about appointing anybody to a board to enforce it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the delay because of COVID in this situation put us past the Supreme Court decision.
Okay. Thanks for following up on that.
So we'll have something. I think it's going to be kind of boilerplate, but make the point ready in November.
Yeah. All right. Good. All right.
Oh.
Sorry, John.
Oh wait. That was I jumped ahead to old business, but anyway. So we're done with that.
All right, Gail.
Okay, well, I'll start with the saga of the alley. Okay, these people, the four people now, and some both husbands and wives, now have, we're on a special text message, and so now they can reach out to me as soon as they know that it hasn't happened, and the pickup of their trash. And so there's been two or three of those, in the last 4 weeks, So I think we've had one good one.
Yeah.
But anyway, finally, the last time John actually came with the driver, this is after they had missed it. John actually came, was it the next day? Or
I think it was the next
two,
day.
I thought it was the next day after
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And so he backed the big truck down the alleyway. Of course, immediately I got a complaint from one of the people that says this is a cluster. And I'm thinking,
do you want to pick up in the alleyway or do you not?
But anyway, I think they were just trying, because I think you may have suggested, was it you or somebody suggested, is there any way you can back it down like they do?
It was me. Yeah.
So I guess they decided to try that, but
that turn's pretty sharp, so I wasn't sure about that.
So anyway, then this last week, John reported to me, at 10 or 11 or whatever. He actually sent me an email saying it was collected, because he has gotten, now we're on a weekly status where the driver has to tell him that he picked it up.
Okay, good.
So I'm hoping that all of that is...
Me too.
I'm on the other side of Brady's Alley where they back down, and it is a cluster on my end.
because they have to like hairpin off of an hour style.
What about if you went down that hill?
Yeah, that'd be much easier turn.
It beeps for like 45 minutes all the way down. And they come roaring up the street. So.
Have you ever seen this alley in this turn?
No.
Oh, it's worse. It doesn't have the slopes that yours does, but it has a much sharper turn. And well,
you've done a great job responding to the homeowners, responding to John Blessing.
Agreed.
Getting them back out there, you've done a really good job. And I've seen the email chains, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
I know. It just goes on and on. I feel so bad, especially
you're doing
the one
great.
Couple that both of them
So that's
that. Of course, we've got the Shredded event November 7th.
Yes. 9 to noon.
Can you let QAnn know about that when we get the flyer ready? Because Dean asked me about it. He's been getting questions from people. So there are people that want it to happen. So.
Well, yeah, so we need to make up a simple flyer then so that Lisa can put it on the message board, like the color thing.
That says the city of Lake Lafayette presents.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the other thing is, I think it was 2 months ago, I presented the drawing.
Would they have the one venture
called? It would be.
The game?
It's Capital One.
I submitted this drawing here. It wasn't in color, so it was kind of hard to really see what we were dealing with. But when we were working on the gateway, the front entrance gateway project, Kelly Thompson of Olson, there were like 7 different areas that we were looking at improving. And, I talked about this. The parking lot was one of them because it's dangerous, basically, for entrance and exit and all that. So then I had Greg Creeps suggested that by the way. So they came over a couple weeks ago. And I looked at the drawing, and I thought, well, this should be simple, And so, of course, basically, Kelly just, and then I met with him about a week and a half, about 2 weeks ago, and he said, think of this drawing, it's like just a cartoon design. He just drew it, like, okay, here's kind of an idea, but it really, you couldn't ever, it didn't necessarily make sense. It looked so simple, and it wasn't until the asphalt guys came along and they were asking all these questions. So basically, I did get an estimate from them, because whatever it is, the asphalt is going to be the asphalt, as far as the size. But just to let you know on that, their estimate was at $9,434 to just some curbing and take up all the asphalt and all that. And so what I realized after that meeting that I needed to get Kelly involved because they really weren't sure. We really need to know where all the utilities are and what's really going to be impacted. And there's a big well or something, I think, in the middle of, I think you called it well, in the middle of the parking lot. And there's water and there's gas, all kinds of things. So Kelly came out, and then in the meantime, we had talked about, besides just the driveway, that at some point we would like to put on a lovely front entrance, maybe just kind of a nice open seating area and have a nice kind of a more of a raised roof line or whatever in the front to make us look more like City Hall and could actually have meetings out there. And so when Kelly came out, we talked about all that and realized that it doesn't make sense to just do this rectangular parking lot without thinking completely what's going to happen to the front.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically we came to the conclusion that we needed to engage him in an additional sort of a detailed design of the parking lot. And then what we also didn't know, what I didn't know, is as soon as you put asphalt down, new asphalt, then you've got to deal with the handicapped area here, which is not compliant at all. And where it is, isn't compliant. And so it's just the whole reconfiguration. So long story short, he presented today this estimate of what he would do, and that would be the first thing would be a survey
to see, you know, all the underground utilities and what's in the way, and where it makes sense to really have the planning beds and the grades, how it impacts the gas station, the whole nine yards. And then he would do the entry master plan. So we would actually, I don't know how much of a detail is on that, but he would actually draw different options up for what that front entry border could look like. Then how it impacts the actual entry to the main front door there, which really should be the handicapped area, where maybe we should have some golf carts, really shorter parking mm-hmm. spaces and all that. And so he, and then do some preliminary engineering. And so that was, he estimated $5,800 and, you know, it should be like not to exceed $6,000. But basically, we can't really, I don't think we can go forward with anything until we do this next step.
Yeah.
And then probably then what you were saying, maybe when I were talking, was that the project you talked to Aaron about?
Yeah, it was just an idea I had. I thought, well, if we can get that paid for based on the ADA compliance and an outside seating area, Aaron doesn't feel real confident about it. But
most only for the fact that if we are actually doing the construction work that's associated with it, really good feeling about it. For if it's for like the actual planning side and that's it,
yeah.
Not as confident. But I did tell Brady that we have $7,000 left for planning commission, which is essentially what we use for like these master planning type documents that I don't have a problem putting towards this at all if that's what
you don't have anything else coming up this year that we would need that.
No, right. Just the Damon spillway stuff, but we have the different category for that that we can take it out of. So, yep.
So we have money budgeted for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I know we, I think initially, because I know the meeting is the 16th of October, 17th of October. I mean, that doesn't, I don't know how specific. I mean, I know I was involved in the grants for the front entry, and I mean, we had all the details in place and all the monies. I mean, we knew exactly what was what. And so I don't know if it would be beneficial to still, you know, Kelly, I think, is going to try to get at least some high-level information about this, but I don't know that that's going to give us the information for how much, you know, we're looking at. But, I mean, we could just be looking at the parking lot right now, you know, and maybe that ends up being $15,000 or something. Mm-hmm. And just know that, okay, we're not going to have to redo anything whenever we decide to do this patio area.
Right.
But I wasn't sure how complete and final, because I know the grant you're asking for a specific amount of money, but, I mean, you pretty much have to detail what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think it's good to put it out there on the agenda, but mm-hmm. it probably won't be discussed or finalized until there's a more solid bid. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a bad idea to make sure it gets on the docket for consideration.
Mm-hmm. So then I could just would I just put together kind of a high level?
I would, yes, and then I would break it into, do high level, and then I would say this is the cost for the, like we're doing a, you know, a planning, $6,000 to estimate the actual work to be $15,000 to $20,000, or just give them a scope, and then we can talk about it. But it wouldn't, we would probably
won't. But that would be the goal, yes, is to do that. So I guess, but it feels like, feels to me like we should, I should be requesting no more than $6,000 for the design to do these three items: the survey, the master plan, and preliminary engineering at this meeting, so that we could move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it sounds like, you know, we may end up getting the reverse maybe from the foundation on that.
Well, if you make a motion, this gets approved tonight, mm-hmm. and he can get this back to us in, you know, a reasonable amount of time, some of these things we might be able to get paid for, such as the door that we talked about in our meeting.
The actual work, yes, yeah, not the master planning part, but the actual work for it.
It's got to be done and paid for by December 31st. So if you can just tell Kelly, you know, if it passes, time is of the essence, and we've got some CARES funding that we could put towards this to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, then, and I'm the one that makes the motion, right?
Yes, you are, if you'd like to.
Okay, good. I would like to make a motion to proceed with funding of this design effort for the parking lot master plan, not to exceed $6,000.
Okay. You have a motion?
Second that.
Got a second. Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Motion carries to approve the Delaware City Hall parking lot master plan. Sweet.
That's it.
Thanks, Gail. Okay. That's it, Gail?
Yes.
Mayor's report, I'll keep it quick. I was also going to discuss the phone call with, or Zoom call with Alan Griner, but we kind of went over that. And as Aaron mentioned, we did have a meeting with the city administrator, Shawnee, and the fire chief. We both thought it went really well. Doesn't sound like there's going to be any changes, contractual or otherwise. We invited him out here at, you know, at any given time, day, just to kind of check out the topography. You know, we talked about the emergency exit. They kind of discussed some future plans that Shawnee has, which is kind of exciting, involving Johnson County MedApp. That's not public information yet that could benefit us. Overall, I thought the meeting went really well, and especially pleased that the contract wasn't brought up, or there was no dialogue about, you know, hey, we need to revisit this, or hey, this doesn't make sense for us. So overall, I thought it was a really good meeting. Nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah, should do good.
They just sent me over his profile today, which I was going to send over to Kathy to see if there was some place we wanted to post about it. And then I was also going to send it over to Q Inc. to, hey, if you want to add this to any of their publications.
Good.
Just kind of, they did like a meet and greet that they posted on their website, getting to know this guy, his background, where he came from. And said they would love for us to share it with our residents as well.
Yeah, I'd post it, have Kathy post it, have QA post it if they want to. I think that'd be great. The Duck Derby, QA has asked the city to kind of participate in the Duck Derby. We're going to put together like a little city gift basket with some items that we have around here, maybe a couple more things, nothing big, nothing fancy, but I would just encourage you guys to support the Duck Derby since we are kind of a part of it. The proceeds are going towards the Coronado Springs area, which has been kind of been cleaned up here the last few months. So keep that in mind. I think it's October 17th or 18th, something like that. So
in the morning?
It is in the morning. I just saw that, yeah. And then Aaron, Fred, and Kathy and I met about the CARES funding. We're going to obviously get to that here towards the end. So that's really it for me. Old business, we talked about the NDO. New business, I guess we can scratch off Ray, correct?
Yep.
As far as the Evergy tree trimming, I don't know how often they come out and do this. Definitely not every year, but.
This is the first time that they have ever contacted.
Well, this is the first time that I've ever heard of this.
So I cannot tell you how often they do it. And if they do, they don't let us know. But they did this year.
But it's for residents.
Yes.
Like they're going back in and clearing around the power lines.
Correct.
Okay.
They're going to start, they just said, sometime in October. It will take approximately 6 weeks to do.
Yep.
There's additional information that we should probably add to our website, Kathy, on Evergy. Really, that was about it.
They wouldn't have to do that. Bearing the lines were cheaper.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, 6 weeks is a long time. We're going to be out here doing that stuff. But anyway, if you guys get asked by residents, I know Julie could get asked, maybe Kathy has been asked by some residents as well. So it should start any day this month.
Can we put in a vote if we have an area that they need to tend to, or?
You know, maybe
you
can walk outside.
I'm pretty sure that you could, because, she said that she had been contacted by a resident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Specifically. And so that's why she felt like she should reach out to Freddie.
Gotcha.
I mean, we've already talked to them about our area. They just have to be kind of out in the neighborhood. They were sort of in our, not in our backyard, but just, you know.
Yeah.
We all chatted about, you know, what was going to happen or not happen.
I don't think, it never hurts, in my opinion, just to ask if there's a crew there, just, you know, hey, if you guys mind just locking this off, whatever.
Well, no, I mean,
Not related.
I got a tree that needs to.
Can you cut
this up
to fire?
Well, apparently, Brady is too.
Yeah, you might want to direct it through Brady because the lady wanted to make sure to tell Brady that he told Marty that this lady said hi because she cheered with Marty back in high school.
Connection.
Yeah, there you go.
Connection.
That's right. Okay. On to the CARES funding. Did everybody get a hard copy and a copy on your internet? I think I can remember.
Yep.
So Fred, Aaron, Kathy, and I sat down just to kind of go over stuff that we thought we needed here at City Hall. You can kind of go through the list of kind of what we came up with. If you have any questions about any of those or why we decided any of those, let me know if you feel something is lacking or something is needed in regards to City Hall and safety and COVID measures and all that stuff. Now's the time. We still are getting pricing on a lot of this stuff. But as it stands now, we're still going to have some money based on just the pricing we have so far.
Our masks were approved.
Oh, well, good, because we already bought them. So.
Yeah, done.
I got a question on number four. Would that be like a camera in here to, if someone wanted to watch from home?
Yeah, so that's an option, a camera or projector. When we were at City of Shawnee, Aaron and I, they recently got their council chambers redone.
Yeah, so Greg, I did it more as like going off of that, like what Shawnee has. So they have the one, the camera that like when it comes down from the ceiling, does the wide turn so that if someone's watching online, then they could look at the particular whatever they wanted to point it towards. And then they do have the two LCD or whatever screens that are up that, like if Kathy wanted to show the agenda on one of them or the presentation could be shown on one of those. And so then they have it tied in so that if someone is watching on Zoom, then they could have the actual council members and everyone in one portion of it. And then the presentation going in like a split screen on the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're looking at that. We asked who they use and it ended up being SKC, who was like a resident.
Yep.
So we're gonna be with them Thursday morning to talk about that and just kind of see what we're ready to do. Okay.
And that's what Shawnee is focusing most of their funding on. That they have found a couple of issues with their current system that they don't feel like is working as quickly and as hospitably as they wanted it to. So they're focusing on filtration systems for their city hall and other city-run business locations, and then this stuff.
Are we pretty short by a lot? Is it 47,000?
We have 41,000 is where we sat.
Do we have quite a bit? We need to come up with.
I think that puts us about, 19,000 left or something like that. But that does not include the bid for this, for the council chambers.
Yep.
Other than that, I think that's the only high dollar item.
Yes.
That we would have to worry about. I have no idea what that would be. We're kind of going based on, we're not going to do exactly what Shawnee did, just kind of on a smaller scale. We talked about, can we do chairs? And, unfortunately, they're vinyl. We can wipe them down, spray them, that type of deal, and we budgeted for them next year. So we thought of anything and everything that we could think of. But, like I said, any suggestions or anything you feel that's lacking?
Because I'm thinking about just the requirements for it. It has to be something that was not previously budgeted for, which is kind of where the chairs fit into. It has to be something that if we went into a quarantine, stay-at-home situation, like what we experienced back in March or April, things that would help us to make sure that our business is still running as seamlessly as it could be.
What about Andy's camera system thing? Could someone help us?
Well, that's something that we need to figure out. I mean, I think
absolutely.
We can make a case for it.
Yes.
I totally think so. We can add it from a network angle and, you know, Baba Hooba, make it sound, you know.
So do you think that you and Dave or with Ray could put together some type of quote or?
Yeah, I started one with Ray. I mean, we just started with, like, cameras, so this can, I don't know what it exactly is going to be, and he's going to work with me, but don't you have to have a formal quote in order to present to get the funds? Like, you don't have to procure it and then get reimbursed.
This would be something that, since we are kind of going outside of the, like, if it's something that another city has not already done, like, for example, let's take the mask or the air filtration system. That's something that every other city is doing as well.
Right.
So we are supposed to, depends on who you talked to at the county now. The main person who we talked to on our city administrator call said, yes, still run it through the request side of it to make sure it's something that's going to be reimbursed, which is what I did with the masks. The other person at the county, who's more of like the front lines person who received it, was like, is this a request or you want to be paid back for it? I'm like, I'm just requesting to make sure this fits. And he's like, well, yeah, it fits because that's what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
The cameras, however, is not something. Some people are doing some stuff with cameras. It depends on the angle that we take this at. But for me personally, I would feel better if we had the quote, could run it through the request system to make sure that the way we list it is something that's reimbursable. They said some of the ones that come back as high or medium risk, which they're trying to do all cities for the low risk things. If it comes back as a high or a medium, their company that they're working with, who's auditing it to make sure that this is all falling under the rules that were given to the county by the federal government, the audit company that they're working with can manipulate some of the wording that we present, like maybe change a couple of the words that we use that would take it from medium to low or from high to medium or something like that. So, but yeah, the sooner we could get that.
So they have to actually, though, I got the impression that whatever we do, it has to be done and paid for.
By December 30th.
Okay.
Yep.
And so
that's why we're working with a little time constraint on that, too. Now, it could be paid for, and then we would be responsible for doing if there's any, like, assembly costs or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we could have the items itself purchased.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, Kathy reached out to, you know, everybody's doing the water bottle fillers and the drinking fountain. And, of course, the local rep said, well, do you know Kent best? Kathy was like, I think so. So I reached out to Kent and Gail, and Kent came back. And I'm also going to talk to him about the touchless fountains or water faucets. I'm sure you guys have those. So,
he's going to have, I think, well, I think he told you that he would have whatever he needed to be presented at the meeting.
Whatever, yeah. So yeah, anything else we can think of? You know, we kicked around the idea of these Chromebooks. I don't have an issue with them, but if others do, you know, or if they're, you know, outdated, now might be the time to look into another option.
The only other thing that's not on the list that we did talk about, which we're still kind of working with the county around, is the copy machine, if there's a way for
that. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we were going to talk about that, yeah.
But yeah,
is that on the agenda?
No.
It's on the agenda, but it's on the
quotes in the internet.
So Kathy got a quote for a new copy machine. It's for a lease. does some pretty amazing things. For example, they can do these kind of these cool banners and stuff like that. They can,
on the coffee?
Yeah. Yeah, they can bind stuff together, print, you know, put in building permits in these so we can post them outside instead of just a piece of paper.
Maybe you could sell your services.
Makes them more ready, you know.
So you're working on that to see if we can get it approved through CARES?
I was just trying to brainstorm if there's a way that we could, or at least a portion of it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that.
We didn't budget for a new copy machine for next year?
No, we did. We always do like a technology one, but we did not designate it for one thing in particular. Okay. We played around with it, but that was about it. And if it does not fall under CARES, then we do have that we could pull it up.
So if you guys don't have any suggestions or ideas tonight, keep thinking. Reach out to Aaron or myself or both. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions on kind of the items that we did come up with, like Aaron said, a lot of them were things that other cities have done that have passed.
Touchless window treatments, could you?
Touchless anything, it sounds like.
Touchless anything is like the name of the game.
Yeah.
Get Christy the fit here to get out all, like, you know.
Same, touchless doors, touchless, 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 touchless. That's, if you can use the restroom and not have to touch one thing, that seems to be like a lot of. Flushing, washing your hands, getting a paper towel, getting a piece of toilet paper, like, it's,
Okay.
Where a lot of them are going. And air.
Yeah.
Anything air.
Yeah.
So that one bid came, and we're getting a second one as well, so we'll see what that comes in at.
Anything air is huge. Yeah. If anyone saw the news about the CDC today saying that poor indoor air filtration leads to the virus being able to travel much farther than 6 feet.
Yeah.
So that's like a huge push that they want people to use this money for.
Good. Anything else from anybody? No? Kathy?
Nothing.
All good?
All good.
Okay. Well, we can stay here for another hour.
Oh, wait, my mapping.
Oh, mapping.
Sorry.
So this is something else that we talked, well, Aaron kind of talked with the fire chief about it. As far as the golf course, the trail system, if you call 911, it's going to pop up as 100 Crescent Boulevard. Now that the queue is built, Aaron's been working on this mapping thing for a while, and the Shawnee chief thought that it was a very important.
Loved it. So I think we started this like a way long time ago before a lot of you had joined the council. It all started when there was a fire on the golf course, not the most recent one with the golf cart, but John can go into a couple more details about this. It was a little bit behind John's house. Came in as a fire, but it was listed as 100 Crescent Boulevard because anything on the golf course is listed as 100 Crescent Boulevard. And so they ended up, I believe, using John's golf cart or one of your neighbor's golf carts to get to it because they have no clue where they were going. And so anything that cuts down on response time was one of the main concerns that Mark Steffen was worried about when we switched over to Shawnee. Since if the volunteer firefighters would have seen something come in at the golf course fire to 100 Crescent Boulevard, they would have been able to put two and two together and know it was not to 100 Crescent Boulevard. Shawnee may not. And so what this does is it takes more of coordinates of where things actually occur at, plots it into the system. It's a simple download is what it sounds like for our police vehicles for Shawnee and then as for the county as a whole. We saved a lot of money thanks to John Nelson and the Trails and Wildlife crew for already mapping all of the trails. And so they're taking those, double checking all the coordinates and putting them into the system. And then this covers everything else, which it covers everything that are queuing locations, but that are protected by city dollars.
Would this qualify for CARES?
So it would, except for the fact that this is something that we have been working with for a long time. But I do still feel like, because we did not know when this was going to be finalized, that it would still fit under the CARES funding. So I was going to take this quote and apply it, but seeing if that
would be. Do you need a motion to approve?
No, this was more of like, I talked about it probably a year and a half ago, and then all the company, they're based out of Washington, D.C. The only thing they were waiting for was the finalization of the community center.
Yeah.
Because they needed the actual plans on opening day.
Right.
So that even this will even tell. If something comes in at 101 Crescent Boulevard, which is technically the address of the community center, this will tell the first responders, third treadmill on the right,
yeah.
Second floor. So we're talking like critical second.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge, you know, safety, life-saving type technology. So
yeah.
If you can get it through CARES, I'm in.
Okay.
In my opinion, if we have to, you know, make a motion at some point. I don't have a vote, but I'm still in. I think it's.
How much is it?
$3,800.
Yeah.
And it's that's plug and play. And he's already reached out. I don't know if you have been able to connect with him yet, but it's a smaller company that has made a name for themselves through the International City Managers Association website for doing this in different cities, and their main focus is. Parks, golf courses,
green space, everything that we
yes.
have. Them, yeah.
Greg, to answer your question, Missy would say the negative is she wouldn't have to load five firefighters on her six-seater golf cart and take them to the scene. Which
you
she
may
did
not
last want time.
To tell some people who may enjoy the 4th of July
not
for the City of Shelby representative
yeah.
that we are doing this.
And only that day the battery wasn't charged, so she'd only owe 2 miles an hour.
So you're going to try and get this passed through CARES, and if not, you can discuss again in November?
If you give me a go-ahead that if it doesn't, I think that it's a low enough amount that if I have enough head nods and whatsoever that... Yeah. If it's not through CARES, then I'm going to go ahead and sign it off anyway and say yes for
him. I'm ahead.
Yep.
Okay.
Just wanted to make sure you knew about it. Like I said, it came up a year and a half ago. The process was started, and then waiting for the community center was open.
And you'll let us know about the copy machine?
Yeah, I'm assuming that will not fall under care. So I'm assuming that we can focus more on either Annie's or Dale's project, whichever gets it to me quicker. No.
As far as
are
the copy
we
machine,
move
we
forward
need to,
with it either
we
way.
Keep that in mind for next month.
I think we can move forward with it either way if the council agrees. But
so it's a lease instead of a purchase, and we're going to sell our unit outright instead of there was really no monetary value for them to take it off of our hands. And while they really don't make parts to repair this machine anymore, the what's the site thing called? The processor.
Oh, yeah.
Might be worth something. Those types of parts might be worth something, but it's essentially $160 a month to lease, but that's all maintenance and toner included. And we get so many black and white copies.
I was
going to
say,
so
that includes
copies.
The toner alone, then.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. And like where Bill needed some color copies tonight on that bigger paper, I couldn't do it because
yeah.
that copier doesn't. My machine, my little desktop will. Make some color copies, but Toshiba will.
Printing larger plans.
Yeah. Plus that,
all the time with that open.
Banner type.
I can't print to it, period.
So
because it doesn't have
you kicked out
Bluetooth or anything
oh, yeah.
else. So that's I'm not hardwired into it.
So Erin, would you need a vote on that?
Do you have to vote? The only thing I was wondering, because it's like a lease agreement. So do we need a vote to enter into a type of lease purchase? For the dollar amount is not the reason we need the vote, but the fact that we're entering into some type of a contract, I think, is more of what the vote and motion would have to be.
The motion to...
is to enter in with Toshiba.
Approve Erin to enter an agreement for...
5-year lease printer, not to exceed $175 a month.
Second.
There you go.
So that was John.
John. That was a co-motion and a co-second.
Okay, any discussion on that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion passes to enter the agreement with Toshiba. For 6 months, not to exceed $175 a month.
I would assume so.
Before the highest was right around that 170 point. It just depends on that finisher. And if we're going to go with the banners, it would be on the higher end of that.
The motion was not to exceed $175 a month.
I think, that falls well within. Well, you know, taxes. It's... Yeah, that should be fine.
No taxes.
I taxes on my copy, please.
Okay.
He should be able to do it for my own city.
Yeah. Okay. That should be okay. Anything else?
Yeah. It's almost under 2 hours, but you're 5 minutes over.
Well, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Well, I got a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I got a second. All those, are any discussions? No, all those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, meeting adjourned, go Chiefs.
So are they.
I don't know. I don't like it.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, well, I don't want to.